Hi, welcome to Light the Camera Author. I'm Jim Juno, and I have with me tonight a very, very special guest. He's been on the show before, and I guess he's a glutton for punishment because he's back on again. His name is George Schlatter, and he is the creator of Laugh-In, and his book is Still Laughing, A Life in Comedy. And it came out, we had you on, George, when the book came out in hardcover. And now we're back. The book is now coming out in softcover paperback.
That's good
And
news.
that's good, isn't
Oh, to be invited back is wonderful. Thank you.
it? Yeah. I tell you, I always want to have you back because I have so much fun the first time talking with you.
Well,
And
we'll do it again.
I tell you what, I mean, this book and the book itself is an inside look. I mean, it's your life story. And then it's your career story. And, it really amazes me that you were there. Was it your first job? Were you at Ciro's? Is that right?
Yeah, well, I was, yeah, kind of. I was did a lot of stuff before that, but Ciro's was the first legitimate job where I was a greeter in and eventually they announced that I'd been a bouncer, and we tried to kill that by saying I was a greeter of environmental whatever disorders, but so anyhow, I was a bouncer, but we tried to soft pedal that. I was a
No
greeter
problem.
in charge of emergency departures. It's like
It's like anybody who has to leave right away, you assisted them.
I would assist them both at Ciro's and then at the Frontier in Las Vegas, which was my next legitimate job, booking the shows in the Frontier.
And you started booking. Well, you booked, you actually got jobs by doing stuff on your own, right? I mean, booking strippers. I remember you in the book, you say things that didn't look so good at 9 p.m.
Well, strippers is another strong word. These were
Okay.
exotic dancers, you know. Got to be careful of the language, you know. But it's a different world now, you know.
Oh, it is.
What we considered outrageous then was kind of commonplace now. You watching the trial?
I'm trying to keep up with it. I'm hearing newscasters say words that I never thought I would hear legitimate newscasters say. I mean, I like Anderson Cooper having to repeat the tweets or the what was being said in the trial. I mean, that's kind of, are you watching it?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting to watch the trial because what Trump was doing to her, now he's trying to do to all of us, you know. But we don't want to go. I'll get you canceled. It's
Oh.
an interesting time right now, you know. Rob Reiner did two shows, and I want him to do another one because right now the comedians may be the answer to where we are socially and economically and politically. Because the comic can tell the emperor he's not well endowed. I mean, the comic, we need that voice now because they get your hands down and you listen, but they can get said what we must say. And on both sides, if you want to do it, but to make us aware, just to listen to the trial, it's going, but it's not going the right way.
No, and I watch the late night comics every night
Yeah.
just to see what they're going to say because I feel I get my real news from them instead of from the actual newscasters.
Yep.
You know,
Well,
and go ahead.
see, the comedians can say things and can get your hands down when you're not uptight. And remember when Johnny Carson used to do it, and we did it on Laugh-In, and now Bill Maher's doing it. Bill Maher's on tomorrow night, and it's vital that we hear Bill Maher. He's a voice. And I don't care which side you're on, but make fun of both sides and then make people aware because just watching the trial doesn't really do it for me. It's
No.
and whatever.
Well, see, that's the thing. I find that the lines that are it's so blurred now between entertainment and politics. Politics is now entertainment, or tries to be.
Depends on which side you're on.
True. I mean, I see people like, and I'm going to get myself in trouble here, but that's okay. I see people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'm wondering what How did she get elected again? I mean, it's, and
I don't know, but what is important is that she did get elected and she has a voice, and the only way you can defeat that voice is to hear it. So I think we should give exposure to Marjorie Taylor Greene, and then talk about what she's saying, because we need
exactly.
that. We're going to have to talk about it more than we are now. So just to ignore it is not going to go away. Trump is there, not going to go away, and he can be reelected.
He can be
That's
reelected, and also he
but
has followers. Even
he
if
has
he
a lot
goes
of
away,
followers.
if he goes away, there are people who will take his place and follow in his stead.
Yeah, we're in trouble if he gets elected, but we ought to realize that now rather than after in November, because I'm not going to go there, but he is evil. That's the I guess I just there, didn't
Not that you're going to go there, but
I? Sorry.
that's okay.
Can't
What's this
help
little thing popping up on my screen all of a
I can't help it. It's just there, And I'm watching him, and he wants to bar everybody. He wants to impeach the judge. He wants, watching that, all he needs is some music and a drummer, I think. I would put a drummer after all of those statements he makes. I'd do a drummer like we used to do in burlesque. Bam,
Rim
Oh,
shot.
I get their punchline.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a lot out there to laugh at, and that's what makes you happy. Laughter is the best exercise we can have.
Do you think you could get away with stuff like this back in, like when you were creating Laugh-In?
No, we couldn't get away with it then. But we did it, and we found people that would air it. And NBC would air it. Bob Wood at CBS canceled the Smothers Brothers, saying they wouldn't send them their tapes, which was a lie. He gave them the tapes, and he canceled because he didn't like what he was saying. Tommy sent him the tapes, and then they canceled them. We went on NBC, and they didn't like us either. The sponsors and the censors didn't like us either. And we'd say, okay, we'll change it. We'd take a joke, and we would change one joke to another joke, but it was still the same subject matter, And it was
Exactly.
religion and politics are two subjects that are very sensitive. But you can stay away from. We did one joke that got us in trouble. We said, "News of the future, 20 years from now, Dateline Vatican, with marriage in the church now an accepted practice. The Archbishop and his lovely bride, the former Sister Mary Catherine, announced this time it's for keeps, if only for the sake of the children." Well, you can imagine what happened. The roof came in, right? But I said, it's news of the future. Nobody said that's going to be. But we went on the air with it, and we stayed on the air. But eventually they took it off. It just got too hot to handle,
And some of the news of the future came true. I mean, you had Ronald Reagan being president, and he became president.
Yeah, well, it was before he became president. I was booking the shows at the Frontier Hotel, and Lou Wasserman called me and said, "I want you to book Ronald Reagan." I said, "Mr. Reagan, he doesn't do anything." He said, "It's not my problem. Book him into the." So I booked him into the Frontier Hotel with an act called Dave Five or something. There were five guys, and we put the head guy out and put Ronald Reagan in it. And it was the worst act you ever saw in your life. So they said, "What are we going to do?" So I booked the Markean family, which was a very funny act, five chimpanzees. So we put them on. The show ran too long. They said they had to cut 15 minutes. And they couldn't cut Ronald Reagan because it was in his contract. And the chimpanzees couldn't cut 5 minutes, 3 minutes. So we had them do the first 15 minutes in the hallway and then come out on stage, which was okay until about the fourth night when they said we'd started the show. They said, "Hold the show. Mr. Reagan has some friends coming." I said, "How do I hold the show? I've got five gorillas loose. You can't just say, hey, take it from the top." And so we opened the door and turned these gorillas loose on stage. It was pandemonium. It was hysterical. They were in the lights, they were in the band and everything. And after the show, I'm sitting there saying, "Oh boy." And Ronald Reagan says, "That's the funniest thing I've ever seen. Have the chimps just do that." I said, "They can't. They're wild, five wild animals." So anyhow, we cut some time out of Ronald Reagan, for which he never forgave me. And then he went.
Oh,
Then he became president, for which I never forgave him.
did he ever appear on the show? I don't believe he did he? Or did you ever invite him to be on Laughing?
Ronald Reagan, no, but Nixon did. We got
That's
neighbors, they'd sock it to me, you know,
right.
and I didn't realize that would make him into a nice guy and help get him elected. He'd sock it to me. I said, "What a good idea!" But see, politics is a great target. Rob Reiner did a couple of shows, you know, and he should do some more. See, but he did two shows called Seriously, Folks. I'd love for him to do one more now when politics is the front, and it's something to laugh at. You can't just do trapdoors and rim shots, you know, but politics is something that people care about, and that's the best possible element for comedy. Anyway, which I'm proving now.
You have had such a career. You have, I mean, you discovered so many people, people who are now like legends, like Lily Tomlin, Judy Carne, Joanne Worley, Ruth Buzzy,
Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn,
Goldie Hawn.
and
Who else
Lily
were?
Tomlin. Go ahead.
They were young character people who were not singers, dancers in the normal sense of the word. So we put them on, and we would tape it, and then tape maybe an hour and a half to get an hour, and we would do ad lib and improvisation, and then use whatever worked. And it was something the network went crazy with. They only bought Laugh-In because it was cheap, and because they didn't have anything else. But by the third week, people caught on and said, "Whoa!" When Richard Nixon said "Sock it to me," the whole world said, "What a good idea!" And so we put that on the air. I didn't realize that would help get him elected, and I've always
Yes.
regretted that. But see, you must laugh. A child is born, and you think about it, a child can sleep, eat, cry, and laugh. And the rest of its life, we tell it when to sleep, not to cry, and to be careful of what it laughs at. But if you can make that child laugh, you don't know what he's laughing at, but just be happy he's laughing. That's an
Exactly.
answer. It just cleanses the body.
I tell
The
you what,
mind.
you all didn't you also discover Robin Williams back
Yep.
be I mean
Robin Williams, we were in San Francisco, and I went out on the street, and Robin was there barefoot with a straw hat and overalls. And he had a fishpole, and he said, "I'm out fishpole out over the audience." He said, "I'm fishing for assholes." And I said, "I want you on the show. I want you to take a shower, clean up, and come in." And 3 days later, he showed up in a suit saying, "I'm ready for work, boss." And he was brilliant. But you see, Robin Williams combined, he had a fantastic education and a mind that was so fast. And he was a real treasure, Robin. And that's one of the discoveries that I'm really proud of, along with Goldie
Yes.
and Billy and.
Now you, I mean, and a lot of people don't realize there was two renditions of Laugh-In. There was the one that back in the 60s, and
Yep.
then there was a reboot,
Yes.
in the seven, no, in the 80s rather.
Yes. Yes.
How was it any different? I mean,
No,
atmosphere.
the climate was different and the administration was different because in the 60s, when we did Laugh-In, they were desperate for a show and Laugh-In just exploded. And when you had that kind of a rating, I mean, I'm arrogant now, but you can imagine me 50 years ago with a 50 share, you know. But when we did it again, the rules had become more strict, and the sponsors and the censors were more strict. But we did some good things then too. It's in order to do really good comedy, you have to be willing to fight and get hurt and die for it, and we would. So, but the second one was good. It was a good show. It just we did not have the support from the network or from the sponsors that we had in the '60s.
I remember you said the suits. I mean, you have to go in and you can convince. You've got to convince the suits, and they're gonna give their own ideas, and then
See,
you just.
the suits are safe so long as you don't say anything. But they've got to be pushed, coaxed, prodded into doing something that's unusual. Saturday Night Live still doesn't do what we did, but at least it's an attempt. We must laugh, and entertainment needs something to laugh at, not just silly things. So Laugh-In combined silly with meaningful, and then heavy political content with beautiful people like Goldie and Lily and Judy and all those, and Ruth Buzzy and Joanne Worley. They were not comics as comics. They were funny young people. I think we need that. I'm thinking seriously about sneaking around the back door and giving them another shot, you know?
Yes, we need it.
I think so.
Yeah, you also, I mean, it was one of the first times we saw African American. The girl, there was a girl who, on the original Laugh-In,
Yep. Teresa
and
Graves.
Teresa Graves. Yeah,
Teresa
and
Graves and Kelsey Brown. And we didn't focus on the fact that they were African American or they were black. We just put them on just like normal people and nobody got nervous about it. But Teresa went on and had a hell of a career. And now, and then we did one whole show called Soul with starring Red Fox, who had never been on network television because his act was dirty. And we put Red Fox out there and they said, "Well, you can't put him on. He'll say something dirty." I said, "I'm going to tape an hour or more with Red and I'll put on the show whatever's there." And it exploded. He did great. See, we've got to take some more chances. And I don't mean just in the words or the language or being offensive. I mean being funny and the
Yes.
high energy because our attention span has shrunk, which I'm stretching now too much. But we have to take chances. We have to make people laugh. And there's so much.
Intelligently, though. Laugh intelligently.
Well, intelligently would work, yeah. But even if it's not intelligent, at least it's when you see a guy walking down the street with a top hat on. Now, and you cut to a pile of snowballs, you know what's going to happen and how you get there. But when you hit that hat, that's going to be funny.
That is true, yes.
Must laugh.
I said, now you did more than just laughing. Very briefly, we're going to talk about a show called Tune On, a Turn On.
Turn On was one of my adventures because after we did Laugh-In, they said they wanted to do another show that would stretch it. So I said, okay. So I did Turn On, which was faster and more brilliant and more brittle. And I said, here's the secret. I'm going to do so much in this show that's going to really get attention. And then what you'll do is pretend to cancel. We'll come back the next week softened. So I said, okay. Well, I didn't realize that it went on the air and a guy in Cleveland who had Peyton Place on. Called all of the affiliates and said, "We can't allow this to happen because it was replacing Peyton Place. We put on a Turn On." And it went on the air and he canceled it and then called all the stations across the country saying, "You have to cancel this show." It wasn't bad, it was just provocative. And so by the time we got to California, the show had been canceled. And it was one of my proudest moments. But it never, by the way, it's now available. You look at it, you say, well, what was the problem? It's even progressive now. We have to stretch it a little more. We have to take some chances. I don't mean just in using the language. I mean in subject matter and I mean in approach. And we put Goldie Hawn was the most adorable child you ever saw in your life. And she came in for an interview and she sat down and I said, this is wonderful. She said, but I'm not a comic, I'm a dancer. I said, it's close enough. So we gave Goldie some introductions and she screwed it up so bad. I said, this is great. She said, I'll do it again. No, Goldie, that'll be just fine. And we put it on air. And from then on, we never let Goldie rehearse. We never let Goldie get her balance. And it worked because this adorable child emerged through pretending to be silly and whatever. She just make her laugh and you were home. But Lily
Oh,
was
yeah.
one, Goldie was one, Ruth Buzzi, Joanne Worley, Chelsea, Teresa Graves. We were lucky to find those people, and they're out there now. I just wish we had the vehicle to put them out in front of the audience because the audience needs it. And see, it was colorful. We did bright colors, and that joke wall was all bright colors and windows that would open up. We need more of that. We need to see pretty people, pretty clothes, pretty scenery, and joy. And now from there on, just say some important things once in a while, not all the time, but once in a while, and hope for the best, and be willing to risk cancellation, which I experienced a few times, but I also experienced some success a few times, mainly because of the chances I took.
I didn't realize you produced several of the Jerry Lewis telethons.
Yes, I did. And it was interesting
How was
because
he to work with? Yeah.
it was very difficult to work with. But I kept Jerry kind of off balance. And so I said, anything you want to do. And he came on and we did noises behind his monologue and we did things happening to him. And he enjoyed it because nobody had ever attacked Jerry before. Jerry attacked everybody. I was the first person to really come out with a frontal attack on Jerry, and with rude noises and things happening behind him. And Jerry kind of laughed, and it worked. We did a telethon. And I love Jerry because he was difficult. And Dean, of course, was, you know, wonderful. I've had a lot of luck with people who were difficult to handle. Judy Garland, I had a great time with Judy Garland. And she just make her laugh. You could, once you made Judy Garland laugh, you could do anything. But the secret is you better be funny.
Exactly. Well, Frank Sinatra, you also worked with.
Sinatra, yes, I worked with him many times. I worked with him in one of my first appearances with Frank. And he looked at me and he says, I have ties older than this guy. But anyhow, we became friends. And Frank, the secret to Frank Sinatra was making him laugh. And if you can make him laugh, you could say anything, but you better be careful. And we did this, one of his first things. And eventually his wife, Barbara, who I love, said she wanted me to do a eulogy at his funeral. And I said, Barbara, please, I don't want to. No, that's not what I do. She said, please, you have to. I said, okay, as long as I don't have to follow Gregory Peck. Well, sure enough, here they go. Bah, 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 bah. Now he's George Floyd. Now I'm introduced by a bishop. And I didn't know what to say. You know, so I said, I've met a lot of, I said, thank you, Your Honor. When you call a bishop, Your Honor, I said, I've talked about, I spent a lot more time with judges than priests and bishops. Anyhow, he laughed and everybody laughed. And so the bishop became my friend because I called him Your Honor. But see, again, mistakes. We've got to cherish our mistakes, feature them, and present them out there. I mean, maybe you could edit all of that out and don't take a chance with this.
No, I want to keep it in. I see all those Emmys in back of you. How many have you won?
A lot. A lot. Emmys and all kinds of things, all kinds of awards and things. But I didn't. I won them only because they have a name on them. But it was the people that we surrounded us with, writers like Digby Wolf and all of these people that were writers on the show, were a group of anarchists, political activists, and they would come in and do funny things, funny jokes, and put it out there, and then put the right kind of music behind it, and don't do it too long, you can get by with it. And we did a lot of stuff like that. Yeah. The Emmys all came from shows that were not supposed to make it that did.
You put on a comedian in Laugh-In that I had heard about, but I'd never seen on TV before, Pig Meat. Markham?
Pig Meat Markham.
Pig well, yeah, Meat Pig Markham, meat, yeah.
Pig Meat. We were doing some blackouts, and Digby Wolf was there. And so we were doing some blackouts in the courtroom, and they said, that's funny. You remember Pig Meat? No. Pig Meat Markham did Here Come the Judge. And they would do these sketches in the courtroom. So we started doing Here Come the Judge. And when we got that, and then we would do crazy things happening in the courtroom. And the day after we did our first show, 2 days after our first show, when the Supreme Court came into the courtroom, somebody in the back said, here comes the judge. And the courtroom cracked up, right? And then they laughed. Well, that established the here come the judge things. And we did all kinds of judge runners and courtroom things. And when you just cut away and it's just, you just see, you can't stay with it for 10 minutes, but you should sure do it for 20 seconds.
Oh,
and it,
yeah.
And
I mean,
The audience won't wait for you now. They're ahead of you.
Sammy, that's what I was going to ask you, is that the attention span has gotten shorter now, but you were actually catering to the short attention span, weren't you?
We featured it. We scored because of the short attention span, because now commercials used to run 2 minutes. When I did the Dinah Shore Chevy show, it was a 2 minute Chevrolet commercial. Now commercials run 15 seconds and they get the message across. Our attention span has shrunk, partially because of the political climate, which I don't want to get there, but you know, we don't realize that they're funnier than the comics, some of these guys, you know. But our attention span has shrunk, and our knowledge. See, we have more information available to us if we focus on that and accept it. So that's what we need to do. We need to do more comedy about more important things, and then stand back and hope nobody hits you.
If you had to pick one thing that you were proud of, and not be the most obvious, like Laugh-In, What would that be?
Be my wife, Jolene. I married
Jolene.
Jolene. Jolene said, because I was working in Vegas, and she said she wouldn't marry me because with the people I was associating with and doing, she said I'd be dead before I was 30. And I said, Jolene, I'll lose those people. She said, you can never lose them. Anyhow, I did. I broomed. It took me 2 years, and I got rid of all of those kind of shady people I'd been working with in Vegas. I married Jolene 65 years ago, 66 years ago. Most beautiful girl in the world, looks as great today as she did then. And so Jolene was probably the reason for my success. And I had two great daughters and some wonderful talent. But chances, the gamble is what really made it work. But Jolene, if there's one reason why I'm even alive, let alone successful, it would be because of Jolene.
Fantastic. Well, the book is Still Laughing, A Life in
Well,
Comedy.
that's it. I hope you are, because
There.
I looked through it the other day myself, and there's some pretty funny stuff in here that I remember, and it's all true. That's the good part. And the thing is that in my long and shady career, there were a lot of interesting people. Some of those people do not appear in the book because whatever the reason was. But there we are at our wedding.
All right.
But I
Well,
got there. That's me and Jolene, and here's with Lucille Ball coming through Schubert Alley at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night, singing together with Steve Lawrence. And she said, "I'm not going to do that show." I said, "What do I do with this elephant?" She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I booked an elephant with you and Steve." And Lucy, she said, "You said okay. I'll be. What time do you need?" So she came and she did this coming through Schubert Alley with Steve Lawrence. I just looked at the show, by the way, which is a hell of a television show. I may re-release it.
All right. I hope you do. Yeah. I'd love to see it again.
We had some unbelievable guest stars on Laugh-In and on Turn On and on Real People. I will say this, that there's been a lot of luck, and the luckiest thing probably was Jolene, because when I married Jolene, I went straight and got rid of a lot of my shady friends, and we're married now, as I said, 65 or 66 years. I've got two great daughters. My daughter Maria has won two Emmys now, and is probably a better producer than I was. And funny, she's doing a thing now with she's doing a anyhow she's doing a lot of stuff. And then our other daughter AJ has won all kinds of Olympics medals and trophies and whatever. So I've got two great children and great friends, and now I've got you.
Yes,
Hey,
indeed. And I hope to have you back on when the ebook
please,
comes out.
when were we on the last time? It was a few years ago.
It was no, actually it was in I believe July last year.
Okay, well, let's not wait
Almost.
so long, and I'll think of some new stories to tell you, and we'll do it again.
All right. Well, thank you
I like
so
being
much.
here. Thank you. I
Thank
like
you.
being here.
Thank you. George Schlatter, Still Laughing, A Life in Comedy by the Unnamed Press. That's who publishes it. You can
Yeah,
find it at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
that's
And
it.
George, I
Thank
tell
you.
you what, no problem, George. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for having me back. That's good. To make it twice is great.
Well,
Hopefully we do it again.
I hope so too. You take care for that for now,
Okay,
okay?
thank you. Thank you,
Thank
thank
you.
you.